Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
Five seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay, judges. That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Hello and happy day. This is Dr. Marianne DiIorio, your virtual life coach, welcoming you to another broadcast of Winning with the Word. Are you one of those people who hates to be stuck in traffic? Or do you find yourself getting irritated when the drive-through lane you're in at the bank is the slowest moving one? What about the checkout line at the supermarket? Do you almost always end up behind a person who needs a price check or who has a stack of coupons to redeem? I think all of us have, at one time or another, been in such situations. The question is, how did we respond in the midst of those situations? Did we express our irritation to the car in front of us by leaning on the horn? Did we complain to the store manager that the checkout line was so slow? Or did we simply keep our mouths shut while seething inside? None of these responses is a healthful one. What then is a healthful response? Before answering that question, I think you'll agree with me that it seems as though whenever we're in a hurry, we usually find ourselves in situations that cause us further delay. Have you ever wondered why this happens? Well, I have a theory, and I think it holds water. I think that God arranges the circumstances of our lives in such a way that we will learn to be patient. Why? Because patience is a foundation stone to the building of our lives and of our faith. Without patience, the building of our lives will eventually crack and probably crumble. You may even have seen this happen literally to some people you know. They got so bent out of shape so often that they had a nervous breakdown. So, what is patience? Webster defines it as the ability to bear trials calmly or without complaint, the act of manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. One of the latest traffic hazards is a phenomenon called road rage. People who are cut off in traffic lose their temper to such a point that some have even gotten out of their cars and ended up in fistfights. Several years ago, I was in the right-hand lane of a four-lane road ready to make a right turn when suddenly, from the lane to my left, a car swerved in front of me, nearly hitting me. As I was thanking God for protecting both me and the people in the other car from an accident, a passenger in the other car jumped out of the car, turned toward me, and, shaking his fist, began screaming obscenities at me. I immediately began praying for him because obviously he was out of control. What causes situations like the one I experienced? While there are several reasons I could name, I think one of the chief reasons is selfishness. Bottom line, I think the reason that we become impatient is that we place more importance on our own needs, on our own agendas, than on the needs of other people. We think that what we have to do is more important than what the next person has to do. It doesn't take an Einstein to realize that patience is in very short supply in the culture in which we live. We have become an instant society. We cook our food in microwave ovens. We eat at fast food restaurants. We even get upset when our computers take 30 seconds to load instead of 25. Well, what benefit do we gain from being impatient? Absolutely none. On the contrary, we suffer many negative consequences from allowing ourselves to be impatient. For one thing, impatience affects our physical health because it causes stress, and prolonged stress, unchecked, leads to illness. Impatience causes strained relationships. It keeps us focused on the faults of others rather than on their virtues. Those who are the targets of our impatience, whether they be our children, our subordinates, or our co-workers, usually end up feeling bad about themselves when we act impatiently toward them. Our impatience chips away at their self-esteem and at ours. Patience is a very important virtue in God's grand scheme of things, and He has a lot to say about it. For one thing, we inherit the promises of God through patience. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 tells us that through faith and patience we inherit the promises. This means that we need not only faith to receive the manifestation of the promises of God in our lives, but we also need patience. Why do we need patience? Because patience is what keeps our faith strong while we are waiting for the fulfillment of the promise in our lives. Let me give you an illustration. One of the promises that God has given us as part of our inheritance in Jesus Christ is the promise of physical healing. There are countless scripture verses that reveal this promise of God. One such scripture verse is found in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, where God says, "I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds." Here, God is telling us that He will restore health to us. Now, when God says something, you can bank on it. When God says that He will restore your health, He means that He will restore your health. But in order to see our health restored, we have to take God at His word. We have to believe that what He is telling us is true. Let's assume that we do believe God's promise to restore our health, and we agree to stand on that promise. What happens then? Well, in some cases, the manifestation of the healing is instantaneous. In other words, the believer is healed instantly. But in most cases, there is a period of time between the decision to believe God's promise of healing and the manifestation of the healing in our bodies. It is during this period of time that patience is of utmost importance. Why? Because it is during this interval between the decision to believe and the manifestation of the healing that Satan will try to rob us of God's promise of healing. Satan will attack our minds with all kinds of thoughts contrary to God's promise. He will tell us things like, "You'll never get well," or "God wants to teach you something through your sickness," or any number of other lies. If we waver in our stand as a result of Satan's attack, we will not inherit the promise of healing. If we are patient, however, and do not allow ourselves to waver, then eventually we will inherit the promise of healing. Eventually, we will see the symptoms disappear from our bodies, and we will see our health restored. But the key to not losing our healing, or the fulfillment of any other promise for that matter, is patience, the ability to stand firm in the face of Satan's opposition. During the interval between our decision to believe God's promise of healing and the actual manifestation of that healing in our body, Satan will oppose the promise of God. He will tell you that what God says is not true. At this point, you have a choice. You can choose to believe what God says, or you can choose to believe what Satan says. Your choice will determine whether or not you receive your healing. So, you see, patience is a key ingredient in receiving from God. This is the reason that Satan tempts us so often with impatience. He knows that our patience is what undergirds our faith, that patience and faith work hand in hand, and that patience is what upholds our faith while we are waiting for the manifestation of God's promise in our lives. Therefore, Satan will try to destroy our patience. But don't let him. Determine today that you will live in patience. Determine that you will not allow yourself to become upset or irritated when you have to wait. Instead, while you are waiting, use that time to pray, to talk with God, to meditate on His Word. As you do, you will find yourself growing more and more peaceful and more patient. The Bible admonishes us in James chapter 1, verse 4, to let patience have its perfect work. This means that we are to let patience do its job in our lives. What is the job of patience? It is to make us mature and complete in Christ so that we will lack nothing. How does patience mature us? Patience matures us through the testing of our faith. In fact, as James chapter 1 verse 3 points out, it is the testing of our faith that produces patience in the first place. Perhaps I can explain it like this. Trials are to faith as weights are to muscles. A weight provides resistance to the muscle so that the muscle can grow strong. Without the resistance, the muscle will not grow strong. Trials are the same way. They provide the resistance that causes our faith muscles, so to speak, to grow and to grow strong. Just as lifting weights produces strength, so does going through trials produce patience. Have you ever noticed that Christians who have allowed God to work in their lives become more patient the older they get? Things that used to bother them don't anymore. Why? Because they've learned to develop patience. Another way of saying it is that they've learned to see life from God's perspective. For God, there is no time as we know it. To Him, everything is now. The closer we draw to God, the more we begin living in the now as well. When I am tempted to become impatient, I remind myself that I am living in eternal time because I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. Therefore, there is no need for me to become impatient. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Those of us who are born again already have patience within us. It was given to us by God when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. All we have to do is draw on the fruit of patience already within us and release that patience into our daily lives. So begin to release patience into your life today. And if you are not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, but you want the patience that He offers, you can receive Him into your life right now. When you do, you too will become an heir of His patience and of every other wonderful blessing that He has provided for those who believe in Him. Just pray this simple prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I admit that I am a sinner in need of your mercy and grace. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for me, and that you rose again on the third day. I invite you now to come into my life. I receive you as my personal Savior and as the Lord of my life. Make of me all that you created me to be. Amen. If you sincerely prayed this prayer, you are now a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. I invite you to write to me at drmarianne@marianndiorio.com. I would like to send you a little booklet that will help get you started in your Christian walk. Also, I invite you to visit my website at marianndiorio.com. There you will find resources to help you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for listening. This is Dr. Marianne DiIorio, your virtual life coach, reminding you that God loves you just as you are and just where you are, and that He will help you to keep on winning with the Word.
Napa Guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.